Ruchim Haboyim B'Shem Hashem, as we begin now, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, part 6 of our series on Bitochim. We are now up to Perek Rishoyim, the Chedus HaRavovus. Until now we've been learning extensively the Psicha. The theme of the Psicha, as we have already discussed, was not so much to talk about what Bitochim is, how one arrives at Bitochim, what it is you have to have Bitochim in, etc., etc. Rather, the Chedus HaRavovus spoke about the wonderful Mailus and the various Te'aliyos of leading a life of Bitochim. And the Chedus HaRavovus is out to make us interested in this project. Why would we want to invest time and effort to try and come Bali Bitochim? And the answer, says the Chedus HaRavovus, because you lead a very rewarding, tranquil, serene, calm life of Menuchas HaNefesh. And the results of that, says the Chedus HaRavovus, are beneficial both beruchnius ubegashmius. One can be oved Hashem in a better way, in several different manners, as the Chedus HaRavovus explained to us, but also, as he called it, the te'eles ba'oilom. The very fact that one is leading a tranquil life and one feels in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam means you necessarily have a better life. Boruch HaGever Asher Yiftach B'Hashem. You live a gebench life. Ashrei Odom B'Teach Boch. Ashrei. You live a life which is Ashrei, fortunate life. So now the Chedus HaRavovus has hopefully succeeded in piquing our interest. So now we're ready to begin our project, because everything until this point was really the Hakadamah. The Chedus HaRavovus in Perek Aleph, not sure if any of you have a Chedus HaRavovus open in front of you at the moment, but it's a very short Perek. It's a very short Perek, if I'm not mistaken, it's the shortest Perek in the entire Sefer, Chedus HaRavovus, 2 volumes. In this Perek, he has a working definition of the topic. Now that he has introduced to us why we would want to become Baal Bitochin, he is now ready for us to define what is Bitochin. And this is going to be our sole, solitary, working definition, as it were, of what Bitochin is. And I'd like to read you the words. Says the Chedus HaRavovus, Mahus HaBitochin. The nature of Bitochin is. And before we even continue, I might have mentioned this in the past, Bitochin is translated in many different ways and more often than not mistranslated. I think it's very often translated as faith or belief or trust and all these words. That doesn't quite capture it. There is a lot untrue, but it doesn't quite do the essence, capture what the real essence of Bitochin is as the Chedus HaRavovus, our Rebbe, defines it. Let's not forget, Reb Chaim Brisker said, our Shulchan Aruch on Hilchas Bitochen is the Chedus HaRavovus. So every word is Kodesh Kodshim Mamash. The Chedus HaRavovus says the following words, Mahus HaBitochen Hi Menuchas Nefesh HaBoiteach. That's it. That is our definition. Menuchas HaNefesh HaBoiteach. It is the Menuchas HaNefesh, the tranquility, the serenity of the one who is Boiteach. Now it's true, therefore, faith and trust and belief are all correct. That's not the definition. You will not have Menuchas HaNefesh if I don't have faith or belief or trust. That's not what it is. That's what's necessary. But what it is, Bitochin, is Menuchas HaNefesh. Maybe a more accurate translation of Bitochin, therefore, would be security, reliance. In order to rely on something, yes, of course, I have to believe in it, and I have to have faith in it. So let's give a very, very simple, down-to-earth, almost crass moshul. Imagine you just come back from a lengthy journey, and you're absolutely exhausted, and you can barely stand on your 2 feet. And you feel that at any moment you might just collapse. Your legs will just give way. And lucky for you, you find yourself next to a building with a big, solid brick wall which you can lean on. you can lean on. So you will not collapse to the floor now because you're leaning on the floor. You're leaning on the wall. What's the feeling at that moment? The answer is, Menuchas HaNefesh. I was concerned, I was worried, I was deeply afraid that I'm just too weak to stand on my own two legs. I could collapse at any moment and cause myself injury, Chas V'Shalom. Is it true that my Menuchas HaNefesh, my reliance on this wall, obviously, necessarily requires that I have faith and belief in this wall? Meaning, if I look at this wall and I see actually it's made out of paper, then I will not have Menuchas HaNefesh because there's nothing to trust or to have faith in. That's not what Bitochen is. Bitochen, security, reliance, Menuchas HaNefesh, it's true, it's based on, of course, I have to be confident that this wall can offer me support. Once I have that confidence, I therefore lean and therefore rely on the wall. That's Menuchas HaNefesh. That's not a product of Bitochen. That is Bitochen. Bitochen is absolute reliance. Total Menuchas HaNefesh. We've mentioned in the past the great definition of Moron HaChazon Ish Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When the Chazon Ish said, what is the interaction between Emuna and Bitochen? Very often translated, Emuna, belief, faith, and Bitochen, trust. And the Chazon Ish, the way he put it was, Emuna is Halacha, Bitochen is the Maisa. Halacha is that which you are supposed to do. The Maisa is the execution thereof. So of course, if I don't know the Halacha, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, I cannot execute it. Execution of Bitochen is the feeling of the Menuchas HaNefesh, which requires Halacha. The halacha of Bitochen is, of course, yes, trust and faith and belief and all these important concepts. But that's not what Bitochen is. That's what is required in order to have Bitochen, which, by the way, is going to be our next subject and we're going to begin in a minute or two. But it's absolutely critical to understand that Bitochen is Menuchas HaNefesh. Menuchas HaNefesh is not the byproduct or ramification or manifestation of, it in fact is Bitochen. That's what Bitochen is. Which means, therefore, Rabbi saying, Bitochen, it's true, is a big project, and we have set out our stall, but Ezras Hashem, to try, to siyata d'shmaya, to learn the entire Fevus of others, it's true, and it's a long project, and there's ups and downs, etc., etc. But the big maila of Bitochen, as opposed perhaps to other midos, is because we have this working definition of Bitochen, it is that much easier for us to measure how are we doing in our project. How do we score in Bitochen? How well are we doing? If you're working on other midos, it's not so easy. If you're working on the middle of Gaiva, Anova, etc., etc., how much of a Baal Gaiva am I? Is there some sort of machine that records on the Gaivometer? Is there such a machine? Not that I know of. Is there a machine that measures Bitochen? Yes. If a pilot is flying a plane and he wants to know his distance from the ground, then you will apply an altimeter, because that measures the height. If a person is feeling unwell and wants to know if he has temperature, he'll use a thermometer. That's the measuring tool of temperature. The measuring tool of Bitochen is Menuchas HaNefesh. And if I generally feel more Menuchas HaNefesh than perhaps I did in the past, then I am an improved Baal Bitochen. I might not be there yet. There's no certificate, an exam at the end with a badge that I'm a fully qualified Baal Bitochen. There are, of course, madrigas upon madrigas, upon madrigas, upon madrigas of bitochen. But because the definition of bitochen is menuchas hanefesh, it is therefore necessarily that much easier to measure myself. How am I scoring? How am I doing? Do I get ruffled? Do I get extremely worried about things? Do I feel like a lost sheep? If I feel that less and less, then I am necessarily improving in my midah of bitachon. That is my definition. And that, therefore, is my measurement of bitachon. And let's not make a mistake. There's no all or nothing in midahs. And bitachon is no exception. There is no such thing as either you are or you are not a baal bitachon, as I mentioned. There are limitless madrigas in bitachon, but we're looking for a trend over here. Am I on an upward trend? We all have, perhaps, disappointments. We have ups and we have downs in any midah. Somebody can be working on the midah of gaiva va'anova or kaas, and occasionally he might well get angry. Does that mean that his project is a waste of time? No, because there's an upward trend, hopefully, in which he's improving. The way that we are hoping to improve in Baal Bitochen, in becoming Baal Bitochen, is to feel that sensation of Menuchas HaNefesh more often than not. And if on occasion we don't feel it, does that mean our project is unsuccessful and a waste of time? No, it does not mean that. But that's our working definition, and that is our measuring tool for Bitochen. How much do I feel Menuchas HaNefesh? How much do I, to what extent do I genuinely feel that my whole destiny is in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam? The Chovos HaAvodos, as I mentioned, very, very brief perek this, where he defines Bitochen as Menuchas HaNefesh. He does, however, add one more line, and this line is the closing line of the perek. It's that short. And he says, the working definition of bitachon, as mentioned, is menuchas hanefesh. What exactly is that menuchas hanefesh? I have the reliance, I have the tranquility of knowing that my entire destiny is in the hands of the one who wants to do what's best for me. He has not, by the way, mentioned the word HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If, in theory, you could find somebody else to be Beiteach in, Bavakasha, to be Beiteach in him. But in order to know whether it's working, you have to be 1000% convinced, and you have to sense that I have total Menuchas HaNefesh, that the one or the thing that I am being Beiteach in is interested in one thing and one thing only, and that's my best interest. Tells the Chovos HaAvodos, in conclusion, there is one further factor which is absolutely critical. I have to be convinced, and I have to sense this in a very real way, that this koyach that I'm being beiteach in not only is interested solely in what's toiv for me, but moreover, he's prepared to deliver that toiv whether I deserve it or I do not. It is unconditional. And that ends the first parak in the Chovos HaAvodos Sha'ar HaBitochen. So our definition of bitochen is Menuchas HaNefesh, but I come about that Menuchas HaNefesh by sensing that the one, the koyach that I am being beiteach in, is genuinely interested in what's toiv for me, and is prepared and is able to deliver that unconditionally. Unconditionally. Whether I deserve it or not. And of course, we can all now really jump ahead of time and work out, we can see exactly where this is going. Obviously, the Chovos HaAvodos is very neatly guiding us in a direction that, if you think about it, you will realize there is actually only one koyach that fulfills this definition, and that is the Rebbeinu Shelolam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as yet, there is absolutely no mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, just a dictionary definition of the topic. So we're now going to review, and we're going to pick up now Perek Beis. That was a very short perek. And I want to make a one-line introduction, if I may, to the second perek. The Vilna Goyim was once asked, how would you define, how would you explain what bitochin is? What would be a good definition or a good moshul of bitochin? And the Vilna Goyim answered, I do not need to give a moshul on bitochin, because David HaMelech has already done so. David HaMelech in Tehillim spoke about the Baal Bitochin and described him as the child in the hands of his mother. Kugomu alei imoy. So the Vilna Goyim said, my job has been done, as it were, by David HaMelech. Which means, Rabbi Yisai, this will be a very important moshul for us, because the Vilna Goyim, and ultimately, David HaMelech, for teaching us that this is the best moshul that we have for bitachon. The child who feels secure, the young baby, or the child who feels secure knowing that his mother, his father, are looking after his needs. The problem with this moshul, as we will soon see, is that it has shortcomings. It does not exactly fit the nimshel. The child, as secure as he or she feels in the hands of his mother, but knows and feels that there are shortcomings. For example, now again I'm jumping ahead of the game, but this is by way of introduction. The child on the one hand knows that yes, conditionally, unconditionally, whether I deserve it or not, yes, my parent is interested in what's best, absolute what's best for me. But the child, if he thinks about it, also knows that my parents are limited at the end of the day. And there might therefore just be this niggling question at the back of my mind, but what will happen if we run out of food today? What will we do then? And what happens if my father suddenly runs out of parnassus? And what happens if my mother's not feeling well today, so she doesn't have the koyach to look after me? So there are limitations, which could be slightly unsettling. Such that a child does not have 100% menuchas hanefesh. But it's the closest moshul we have. And because it's the closest moshul we have, as the Vilna Goyim explained to us in light of this topic in Tehillim, we will therefore constantly refer back and compare and contrast the moshul of the child, his relationship to the parent, versus the relationship of the Baal Boteach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Having said that, let's now begin the second perek of the Philosophos. Having defined for us in Perek Aleph what bitochin is, menuchas hanefesh, the next step is, the obvious question is, fine, how do I go about achieving menuchas hanefesh? And for the moment, the Chodesh HaBobot does not mention a word about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not here to trick us. He will let you make that decision. Of course, he will prove the point where we will all reach the inescapable conclusion that there is only one address, there is only one koyach in which one could reasonably be beteach in, and of course that's the Ribbono Shel Olam. But as yet, no mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, I'd like to lead a life of menuchas hanefesh. What should I be looking for? Asks the Chodesh HaBobot. It's all open. I can be boiteach in anything or anyone that I choose. But I'd like to lead a life of Menuchas HaNefesh. Why would I like to lead that life? As the famous Avodah told us in the introduction, it's the most rewarding, blessed, calm, tranquil, serene life. Why would you not want a life like that? If anybody does not want a life like that, then he leaves our project right now. He's barking up the wrong tree. He's involved in the wrong project. The Chavos HaVodot is addressing those who do want to lead a life of serenity and of tranquility. That's the definition of Bitochen. What am I looking for? What am I looking for? So the Chavos HaVodot says that actually there are seven conditions. The Chavos HaVodot is a tremendously organized sefer. Seven conditions, and he details them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. This is what you are looking for. If all seven conditions are met, Mazel Tov, you have found the koyach in which you should be boiteach, and this will bring you Menuchas HaNefesh. If you have 6 out of 7, that's pretty good. 5 out of 7, almost pretty good, etc., etc. Any one of these conditions will certainly bring about an element of Menuchas HaNefesh. But a shleimus in Menuchas HaNefesh can only come about if your mivtach, if the koyach that you are boiteach in, actually fulfills all 7 conditions. So let's begin. Condition number 1, says the Chavos HaVodot, is that the one being boiteach has to know and feel and sense that the koyach that he is being boiteach in is merachem v'choymeil olov, loves him, has compassion for him. That's the first tonight. If you are being boiteach in somebody that you don't genuinely think is merachem on you, you will not feel secure. So, I think, so far, we could say that the moshel, the child to the parent, is pretty much sound. Maybe not 100%, but yes, the child hopefully does feel that the mother and the father love the child. And that is what gives the child a sense of security, the Menuchas HaNefesh. So, tanai number 1, pretty much is fulfilled by the parents with regard to the child. If, by the way, we are looking elsewhere, should I have bitochen, you'll excuse the moshel, in the leader of my country, my prime minister, my president, my melech? Well, let's ask ourselves a very simple question. Does he love me? Is he merachen v'choymel olai? And if I'm not convinced that he does, then obviously I have no bitochen in him and no Menuchas HaNefesh. And if he says that he loves me, that's not enough. Because the Chavos HaVodot says, it's got to be that yoideya b'chaveiro. Not just that he says it, he knows it, he feels it, he absolutely senses it. So when your local politician convinces you, oh, of course, all I want to do is what's absolutely best for you, by the way, will you vote for me in next week's election, then that doesn't exactly present you with Menuchas HaNefesh. Because he may be talking the talk and walking the walk, but I cannot genuinely say, yodea, I know that he's merachem v'choymeu olof. So that's the first condition. The second condition, says the Chavos HaVodot, in addition to the fact that the mivtach, the one I mean boiteach in, has to have genuine compassion and love towards me, am I also aware, am I also convinced that the mivtach is on the constant lookout to take care of my interests? Because you could have one without the other. You could have somebody who, yes, genuinely does love me, but for whatever reason, they're not able to tend to my needs 24/7. And I think we can already see, therefore, the cracks in the bitachon that a child has in a parent. It's a good moshel, and it's the moshel that we're going to go with because it's the closest we can have. But we are already beginning to see that there are shortfalls in this muscle. Why? Because the child knows, yes, my parent loves me. Is my parent looking after me, eyes open, 24/7? My parents also have to go to sleep at night. My parents also have to go to daven and have to go to work, and they're busy. They have a life to run as well. And in fact, there may be other children as well who they're busy with. And what about the night that they've got a chasna to go to? And what about when they're exhausted, they have to go and take a rest, they're not looking after me then? So we can already begin to see that by process of elimination, we're going to rule out almost every mivtach besides for one, and that's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that is the second tonight. Says the Kohen Salvavos, failure to live up to that second condition will necessarily mean a lack of Menuchas HaNefesh. It doesn't mean devoid of Menuchas HaNefesh, but it means my Menuchas HaNefesh will not be complete. So, imagine you have somebody who is feeling unwell, he's a choler, and he would like to be boiteach in his doctor. Number one question, does the doctor genuinely have ava towards me? And even if he does, is he looking after me 24/7, or does he have another 500 patients with which he has to deal with as well? So I cannot have absolute menuchas hanefesh by relying on my doctor. Third condition, says the Chayyim Salvavos, it may well be that my mivtach, the one I'm relying on, it's true, has absolute ahava towards me, and is on the constant lookout 24/7 for my goodness, and is looking what's interesting, best, my best interest. However, he may not be able to execute all his ritzonos. He may have the most wonderful kavanah in the world, but he's not unlimited. And once again, we see, therefore, the cracks in the moshul, the child to the parent. As we said before, the parent may well have unlimited love for the child. The parent will, to the best of his or her ability, try to tend to the needs of the child on a constant basis. But there are limitations that the parent is confronted with. The parent is not a doctor. So what am I going to do on the day that I'm not feeling well? My father, my mother is not a doctor. What happens if my parent wants to provide me with a supper that they feel is absolutely best for me? Big problem. That very food doesn't now exist in the shops. There's a shortage. So, for all the best kavanas in the world, they have unlimited ava, and they're looking out for my interests, but they're not always necessarily able to execute those plans. Once again, says the Chayyim Salvavos, if I'm not convinced of that third tanai, then my menuchas hanefesh cannot be complete. Fourth condition, and I think with this we'll close tonight, and Bezos Hashem will resume next time. The fourth condition, says the Chayyim Salvavos, even if you have managed to check all the first three boxes, the Mivtach has Ahava towards me, the Mivtach is on a constant lookout for my toys, the Mivtach has unlimited ability, nothing can stop him, does the Mivtach actually know what's best for me? It may well be he loves me and wants to give me all the toys in the world, but does he know what's toys for me? I was reminded of this on Motzei Shabbos. We had a family simcha in Yerushalayim. My children were all planning to go on Motzei Shabbos. It was all planned, and except my youngest daughter on Shabbos afternoon suddenly went down with a fever. Comes Motzei Shabbos, I want to go to Yerushalayim. You can't go, her mother said. It's not good for you. And of course, we got the tantrum and the crying and the screaming. But we couldn't be budged, obviously. Because the child might not feel, might not know what is best for them. But the parent does. And the parent knows that actually, this is the best thing for you. So, the child might not always sense that, either because he's not mature enough to feel it, or genuinely, the parent doesn't always know what's best for the child. So in both directions, once again, we see that this moshul is not absolute. In order to have total menuchas hanefesh in the mitzvah, I have to be convinced that the mitzvah is not only willing, is not only able, is not only constantly on the lookout for my Torah, but above all, he actually knows what is praise for me. It may well be that I'll knock on the door of the doctor, of the wealthy individual, and they'll give me this medication, they'll give me this money. Who says that's actually my best interest? It could well be that given the circumstances, the best would be not to treat the chayla, perhaps not to give him the money, etc., etc. Does he genuinely know what's praise for me? Says the chayla of all this, if I do not have all of these four tanoim in place, there's altogether seven, we've mentioned four so far, lack of any of those four will necessarily mean there is a shortfall, there is a distinct lack of shleimus of menuchas hanefesh. Those four conditions are, number one, that the mitzvah has absolute ahava for me. Number two, he's on the constant lookout to carry out that ahava. Number three, there's nothing that can stop him, he has unlimited koyach. And number four, he genuinely knows what is in fact in my best interest. When we have all four of those conditions, then and only then will I finally be able to have menuchas hanefesh, which was, after all, the definition of bitochen, according to the Chiddush HaOlam. We're going to hold it over here, and we'll resume Be'ezus Hashem next time. Now, I'm not sure when the next...